Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey, hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Back in the makeshift studio. Got everybody here. What up, Caleb?
What's going on?
How are you?
Good.
Matthew?
Hey, I can talk this week.
You can talk this
nice.
Week.
Nice.
Things are, well.
And I saved gas.
It worked out better because last week was pretty cool.
I didn't hear. I didn't get to see.
Well, just because you didn't talk doesn't mean you couldn't hear.
Well, I chose not to hear.
Well, there you go. There. A lot of things to talk about. I don't want to make light of this, but I think it's funny, but not the second portion.
Okay,
we understand that. So somebody reached out to me, and they asked if I would be a guest on their show.
Oh, boy.
Now, first, you know, right. I don't go on shows. I don't listen to shows. I don't, you know, I don't want to know what other people are doing, you know, that
way. Show
on
Facebook?
Do I?
This is a show on Facebook?
Well, no, this is...
a podcast?
I think he did say a podcast.
Okay.
But that's not... You know, my thing is I don't want... I'm so well-liked that I don't want to give anybody to say, hey, you took that guest, that speech, that liner, that... So I don't listen to anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that he is a suicide... It's a suicide... A military suicide prevention show.
Wow.
Okay.
So my response was, why do you think I'm going to commit suicide? I mean, are you trying to do some intervention or something? You know what? Obviously, he doesn't know me because he doesn't know where I stand on all that. And then I said, I don't understand. Why do you want me on? And then he said what it was. We kind of left it at that. I've told some friends he doesn't want me on because when he finds out my views, my opinions on suicide, they're not going to like it. Then other friends have said, no, what you believe needs to be said as well. It's kind of like the world we're in. You know, there's three sides to everything. And then as I'm driving here to Tournament to Pizza, I see the news that Twitch committed suicide.
Which is Ellen DeGeneres' DJ.
You know, everybody knows who Twitch is.
Sorry. I don't watch Ellen.
No, but
I don't either. Twitch won one of the dancing competitions. Then he's been in movies. I mean, he's blowing up.
Wow.
And committed suicide, I guess it was yesterday. So, again, now might not be a very good time for me to talk about, you know, suicide, but I feel bad for his family.
It's the season, though. This is the time of year when most people deal with mental health issues. They feel alone or the holidays, and now with the financial burdens.
Hold on a second. He just celebrated his 8th anniversary and has 3 children. How is he alone?
Well, I'm not saying, like, alone mentally, like, emotionally. Like, you know, you don't know what people are going through.
No, like,
there's so many people that are walking around that are so fragile. It's just one little thing and just pushes them over the edge. Or they get so dark in a hole, they can't see any of the positive stuff that's got. Yeah, we all see from the outside looking in.
I get in a dark hole every time you talk.
That's not true.
It definitely is.
So are you going to do the podcast or not?
No.
You're not going to go on and talk? You just said it was important that your message went out there.
They said.
You need to get out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you should do it.
With my views?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what my views are, right?
I can figure.
It's selfish.
You know me well enough.
Yeah, I can figure.
Yeah.
Well, it's selfish.
That's my view. It's selfish.
Right.
And
but that's a point that needs to be said because people don't really look at it that way. They only look at it from selfish as
can I be honest? I've never heard a different view from my family. If you choose, is it tragic? Yes. But my family has always said it's the most selfish thing you can do.
Sure.
Right.
Because it's not just about you. Your life isn't just about you. So,
but I don't think that the people that do it actually think about what the pain is for everyone around them.
I find that hard to believe. I find that hard to believe.
I think they are.
They're in a bad spot. I mean, I get that. You have to have something wrong with you to end your life, in my opinion,
yes.
Right? But I find it extremely hard to believe that anybody that's thinking about it or has gone through and done it. I'm not a doctor. I don't play it. I don't want anybody coming after me. I don't know what I'm talking about. But at some point, I find it hard to believe that that person hasn't thought about their three kids that are in the living room.
I think it's worse than that. I think it's more like, remember being a kid and going on the merry-go-round, and it gets to go spinning so fast and so fast, and you can't stop it, and you don't know how to end it. I think that's, they get, their life gets turning so fast, and it's financial, or it's emotional, or it's addiction-based, and they just don't have a way out, and they don't know how to stop the merry-go-round.
Then you need to ride the merry-go-round at, like, Disney World, because it's only about 42 seconds long.
I'm just saying.
And then they kick you off.
It's not as complex as simple as family and something to live for, and like your kids. And
yeah.
It's deeper than that. And I think it's just that life gets so consuming and so fast, and the rat race and social media and the pressures, and that people just don't know how to end that cycle. And that's the only way they logically think it through at some point.
But, you know, both sides can be true. And I think that, yes, those people who deal with that, they are going through a lot. And it's the only way they see that they can get out of it. But I still think it is selfish. It's
absolutely
selfish.
And
I think two things can be
through. But I think you should definitely put your name out there. You should definitely do the podcast. You were asked to do it. They obviously respect you for being a veteran, for, you know, your voice and the platform on the radio show. So there's a reason that they reached out to you. So you should do it. Absolutely. Right.
We'll see. We'll see.
Maybe you can save a life.
Well, my view isn't going to save a life.
It might be the harsh reality that somebody needs take their life.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if what the two of you are saying is that they're not thinking about their family, then, yeah, maybe I can, because that's my thing. You know, and I've always told my wife, if anybody ever comes to the door and says, Randy committed suicide, hire a private investigator. Have them follow Matt around and figure this out.
Because I'm going to inherit this show and it's all over. So if you're feeling sad, let me know, Randy.
Honestly, we have
breaking news.
I feel sad all the time, but what?
Breaking news. France scored in 5 minutes of the World Cup semis today.
Shocking.
Argentina made it through 3-0 yesterday against Croatia. France is playing Morocco. First Arabic African team to be in the semis, so it's a big day for my people and Arabs everywhere. But you know what's funny? There was a joke somebody made that they said there's two African teams playing in those semis today, France and Morocco, because over half the France players who start are all African players.
Yeah. Well, what about Bebop or Bebop?
Mbappe.
Do you have any pull in this place?
Yeah.
Any pull at all?
I'm the king.
Well, then can you change that damn TV station? Why are we watching weather?
Well, I'm looking at the cold front because I want to be able to time my ice bath.
The World Cup.
For efficiency.
Because, you know, everybody's on pins and needles. Will France advance?
If you freeze to death in my ice bath, will that consider suicide?
You're not in the will. Well, you are in the will. In the will, it says Matt gets nothing.
That's what I've been getting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same.
All right, let's hit this break, and when we come back, let's talk about the elephant in the room.
That's not nice to call him an elephant.
I knew he was
a sick guy. But
I knew he was going to be stupid. I want to talk about the co-main event. I want to talk about everything that's been said. I spoke to a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, who said he thought Patty won until he rewatched the fight, and then he's like, yeah, you're right.
Okay.
So we will talk about the Patty Flash Gordon fight and a whole lot more when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Snapton. Hit him a couple times. Hit him!
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tyler Anderson from the Chicago Blackhawks, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Looking for the perfect holiday gift? Randy Harris here. And once you check out the vinyl image, your search will be over. This is the gift. Perfect for the man cave, she shed, kids' room or garage. Get your favorite band, animal, sport, military, or custom your own record design. I already put my order in, and so should you. Vinyl records are back. Tune in to Knockout Radio for details on how to win a gift certificate to thevinylimage.com.
Skunk Ape Electronics is just amazing. Get connected through music with Skunk Ape Electronics. Custom boomboxes, veteran-owned and operated, and American-made. Go to skunkapeelectronics.com and change the way you listen to music. Get 10% off your first purchase when you sign up for our newsletter. Stop by any Knockout Radio broadcast and check out what they use from Skunk Ape Electronics. Amazing. Just amazing.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm James Lofton, and you know who you are on the other side of the dial, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, now that soccer is being put on the map, you know,
this is a big game for them.
It's a big game.
It's gonna be,
people finally know that there's a thing called soccer.
It's the world's fifth best sport.
What are the other four?
Football, NFL.
You're an idiot.
Baseball, basketball, hockey.
You're an idiot.
I would even put cricket up there.
Cricket's bigger than football.
Bigger than?
American football.
American football?
Yeah.
Cricket?
Yeah. The biggest cricket player in the world. You don't know his name. He has 250 million followers, more than LeBron James.
And these football players, better known as soccer players, are making like, you know.
Well, Cristiano Ronaldo just signed
$200 million a year.
Right. $200 million for two seasons. Right. $400 million Saudi Arabia.
And we've talked about this with MMA as well. Now, MMA has the potential to be, you know, global because it is global.
Yeah.
The NFL's not.
No.
So the NFL.
They're trying to, though.
Well, I understand.
Germany.
Right.
There's a reason for that. But, you know, they see the revenue.
But it's still going to take more than one game.
Yeah.
You know, in Germany, one game in Mexico.
It's a year. Look at how long it's taken soccer to pick up here.
Football.
And then
exactly.
And then the greatest trade of all time, Brittany Griner being traded back to the U.S.
Oh, boy.
Why?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a sports talk radio show. Go back to suicide prevention. Sorry.
Welcome home. That's all I'll say. Welcome home.
I'm not going to say anything. You know, and you know, people are on me because, again, on my views on that as well. I didn't want either one of them to be traded for the terrorist. You know, so everything is supposed to be, well, it was take it or leave it. I would have left it.
I would have taken the American hero that's over there.
He's not a hero.
He's not a hero?
He was dishonorably discharged.
I thought he was a spy.
He was dishonorably discharged.
Okay. Well, hey.
We'll talk more about that in a minute. Let's talk about, let me calm down a little.
Yeah.
Let me go, your heart rate's elevated. Yeah. Let me go to my happy place, and that's talking MMA, talking UFC. I was just there last week. The final UFC event of the year is this weekend.
Yes, it
on
is.
On the phone with us, let's welcome back to the program, Drew Dober. Drew, how are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me back on.
We appreciate your time. I know it's, you know, we always talk about this. It's always Wednesdays. That's the media day. It's just the beginning of fight week. How do you get into fight week, or do you just let it, you've had enough of them, today's Wednesday, you'll worry about Thursday tomorrow?
You know, fight week is just a roller coaster of emotions. You know, Monday's like the last day back home with the family. Tuesday is like you're arriving and kind of just getting everything all set up. But I love Wednesday of fight week. Just the opportunity to talk to the fans, the friends, the people that I enjoy to be around. So today is the height of fight week for me.
And Saturday is what? The first day of summer vacation. What is Saturday considered?
Saturday is Christmas for me. I'm tired of wrapping these presents and putting them under the tree and waiting. So Christmas morning is Saturday for me, and I got to finally open up this present and see what I got.
During fight week, we talked about Wednesday, media day. You can talk to your friends, family, fans, etc. Do you try to block out, you know, the job at hand, which is in 3 days, or are you thinking about that all the time?
You know, I mean, you're obviously thinking about it, but I'm not thinking about, like, the negativity of, like, you know, the actual fight. It's more so I've been thinking about this moment for 8 weeks plus. I mean, you know, and now since I'm finally here and I'm in the thick of it, I'm trying to enjoy every single minute that I'm here.
Drew, you're able to finish your last two fights in the third round and in the first round. After getting that kind of high, is that something you go into a fight looking for, or do you just kind of see how the fight plays out?
No, not any longer. My last loss against Brad Riddell, I went in looking for the knockout, and I fought like an idiot. And so we've dismissed that idea, and when it comes to fighting, or life in general, you can't predict anything. You just react. So yeah. We get to see what kind of Bobby Green shows up, and I get to react accordingly. I would love a first-round knockout, but who knows? I might, you know, get a submission. I'm open for anything.
What's the craziest, strangest, funniest thing that's ever happened in the middle of a fist fight? To you or with you?
In the middle, man, there's so many of them. I got Islam Makhachev threw an intentional groin punch and then immediately apologized for it. I had this one guy, he was very vocal in the fight, but it wasn't negative. It was, he was just telling me how bad I was whooping him. He was like, man, you're so good. Oh my God, this hurts. You know, like, he was complimenting me the entire time.
Crazy. Give me your thoughts, because I'm very vocal about this, that it takes 4 fouls before you get a warning, and then after the 8th warning, it becomes a stern warning, and then by then the fight's into the 3rd round. What can be done? What would you like to be done so that when somebody does foul, it's a foul?
It's hard for me, because I just feel like we're in a fight. So, and we're a professional. We're fighting on the biggest stage in the world, and these accidents are going to happen. So I expect the athlete to avoid the illegal moves. But, man, just let the fight be a fight, you know?
Okay. I mean, it's an interesting take for it.
You know, fighting Bobby Green, and he's very adamant about he wants to entertain people. You know, he prides himself in being an entertainer more than, you know, going and just trying to win a fight. How do you avoid feeding into that, you know, with him, you know, dancing or whatever it is that he does? How do you go out there and stay focused and just do what you got to do?
I can't wait to see it. I can't wait. I've been a fan of Bobby and the way he fights and the way he talks and the way he moves. And, like, man, it's just so much fun. And, man, this is a fight that I've been wanting for a long time. And it's all just for selfish reasons. I want to know how it's going to play out between him and I. You know, he's got, like, that smooth charisma and the speed in his boxing. You know, I got this, you know, power. And, you know, like, I want it all to come to fruition. And I'm equally as excited as everyone else to figure out what happens.
Okay. But can you get caught up in that as well?
No, I mean, it's one of the things, like, I don't know. I mean, it might make it more entertaining if I get caught up in it, you know, or like, am I going to try to avoid it? Or, man, I've never had a man, like, talk in the cage like Bobby does. And so, like, I couldn't even tell you how it's going to come out, but I just know it's going to be fun. It's going to be entertaining. We both want to kill each other, but in an entertaining fashion. And there's no way that these 15 minutes are not going to entertain.
And correct me if I'm wrong, this weekend's at the Apex, right?
Yes, unfortunately, man. This fight needed to be in front of an audience, but, man, we're both, Bobby and I, are trying to get that Christmas money.
Well, again, unfortunately, but fortunately, because that means we're going to be able to hear what's being said, you know, yeah, in the octagon.
Right?
You didn't think of it that way, because that's the only beauty of the Apex, you know, without the crowd, without the hoopla. You know, the fans watching on TV can hear the corners, can hear stuff. So now I'm even more excited for the fight.
Oh, man, yeah, it's going to be very intimate being in the Apex, but, yeah, I'm stoked.
Hey, Drew, so before you came on the show, we were talking about the global sports and how some sports are trying to get more international, like the NFL. I know recently you spent a lot of time in Europe. Soccer is on the forefront with the World Cup playing. So,
football.
But how are you received over there? Do people recognize you from, you know, the UFC and from mixed martial arts? And how big do you think the sport is in Europe?
Bigger. It's kind of one of my complaints about the United States and mixed martial arts and the fact that, you know, being an American fighter, my own country does not get behind their fighters as strongly as like Ireland and Russia and England. And, man, the rest of the world, just mixed martial art is like up there with football, you know, and, here in the United States, I tell people I'm a fighter and it's still kind of, you know, wishy-washy. So I think, the United States can step up on their support game and, really push their fighters, you know, to the Paddy Pimblett or Conor McGregor status.
Yeah, Paddy, during his fight, he came out to a huge ovation, and the guy he was fighting was from Vegas, and he got booed there, and he made the comment that says, in the U.S., we like to take down our athletes, while other countries, when they have athletes go, they have a full country support them, and they buy their merch, and they push these guys to become stars. And so me being in the National Football League, I can definitely understand that sentiment, so I'm glad you can say that too.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of the things, like, if I ever got that fight with Conor McGregor, like, 75% of the United States is going to be supporting Conor. You know, yeah. I think United States can pick up their game and really support their fighters better.
It definitely is crazy. Before we let you go, did you watch Saturday night and give me your thoughts on the co-main event?
I actually didn't watch it, but, man, I've been hearing all the hoopla, but man, I think, you know, from what I've seen, it was a little closer than people care to admit. But, man, when you're fighting a guy with that star status as Paddy, you can't go to the judges, right? You can't trust their work. So you gotta put Paddy out for sure.
You know, that bothers me so much, you know, that statement. And I know that's true. But as a licensed judge in Florida, every time people say that, you know, I've always said that I could judge my wife fighting my mom. You know, I don't care who wins, and it bothers me. And I'm not saying that it's wrong. It just bothers me that's the case, because every single person I've spoken to that was not wearing a fake wig or one of the three judges thought that Gordon won.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. But I think it really comes down to with the 10-point must system, right? We don't earn points, right? We either win the round or lose the round. So, like, that opinion is also slightly related to the hype that each person carries, right? When Conor McGregor is stepping in there, man, like, I'm watching what he's doing because he has that star status. And so just me watching what he's doing is going to manipulate my opinion on who wins the round. So star power definitely plays with the judges.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Speaking of that, can you watch a fight as a fan, or are you always trying to pick things up to help your craft?
Yeah, no, I always watch the fights as a fan. People are always asking me, like, who do you think won? How did you judge this fight? I'm like, I wasn't judging. I was clapping and applauding and getting excited like everyone else.
I always tell people that if I want to watch it as a fan and enjoy it, I will look away for about 10 seconds. Because in my mind, if I don't watch from the first to the last second, I can't judge it. I have to watch all 5 minutes. And if I miss 10 seconds, I can't judge it, so I can kick back and enjoy and watch the fight.
Right. I think my mother put it perfect. She was like, I got to watch you fight twice. The first one, I'm just nervous and excited all at the same time. And then the second time, I can actually watch it analytically.
That's good stuff. Finally, and I ask this all the time, and I know I've asked you this, you know, many, many times, what can the fans expect Saturday night when the door closes? With that said, I believe 4 out of your last 6 fights have been bonus fights.
I mean, you got to expect entertaining fights from me and Bobby. And so without a doubt, 100%, you know, these two guys are getting into the cage for just sheer entertainment. So if you can only watch one fight on the card, this is the fight to watch.
This is definitely it. Drew, thank you very much for your time. I know we have your mailing address. We're going to send you another care package from 8-Man Strong, along with a new sponsor I picked up. It's called Blue Smoke Salsa. I guarantee you this is the best salsa you will ever eat in your entire life.
I can't wait to test that out.
I will send that to you. Enjoy the week, and more importantly, have fun on Saturday.
Thank you so much, guys.
Take care. Drew Dober back on the program and back in the octagon on Saturday. And that's not a bad 4 out of his last 6 fights. He got the cha-ching bonus.
Yeah, especially for Christmas time. That's great.
You got to like that. All right, let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sub. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Ken Dorsey from Miami, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. Now remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
It's ReliaQuest Bowl 2023, and it's going to be big. Watch the Mississippi State Bulldogs passing leader Will Rogers take on the Illinois Fighting Illini's Chase Brown, the nation's second leading rusher. It's SEC versus Big Ten. Be there. The battle kicks off noon Monday, January 2, Raymond James Stadium. Do not miss it. Tickets at Ticketmaster.
You don't need to be in the military to take advantage of Military Case Surplus, where you can buy pre-owned storage cases up to 80% off. Most cases are waterproof, airtight, and in excellent used condition at unbeatable prices. Military Case Surplus is located at 8989 Ulmerton Road, Suite B in Largo. If you need it, they should have it. Call 727-276-8716 or come see them. We all need storage, and Military Case Surplus can save you a lot of money. And they're cool as well. Check them out on Facebook at Military Case Surplus.
Ladies and gentlemen, fighting out of the Christmas corner, MMA Bobblehead from MMABobblehead.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Michael Clayton from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Yeah. All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. Matt was kind enough to change the channel, and I see that there's a soccer game going on.
Yes, there is. It's a pretty good game so far. France got an early goal. The Moroccans are pushing hard, and we'll see what happens, man. World Cup games have been crazy.
Do you know what the odds are on this? I mean, it's odds-wise, Morocco's got to be...
They're definitely underdogs. You know, France are the favorites, or they were after Brazil went out. I would say Argentina's the favorite because I want them to win. But I think it's going to be a good game, man. So I'm excited.
And if Argentina wins, I believe there's a party at Martin Gramatica's house.
I'll throw a party at my house.
And invite Martin.
Exactly.
And we will definitely do that. All right. So let's talk about the Patty fight.
Yeah,
against Jared Gordon, who was on the program last week. I thought and still think that Patty lost that fight. Every single person I've spoken to, and, you know, the joke that's going around, and I just said it to Drew, the joke is anybody who wasn't wearing the fake wig or one of the three judges had Jared Gordon winning that fight.
Or add Caleb to that list.
You thought Patty won?
I didn't watch it a second time, but I think what Drew said kind of is really true, because I'm excited to watch Patty fight. And so
that's
I'm
fine.
Constantly watching what he's doing. And I can see how the judges would pick him to win that fight. Because the first time I watched it, what I saw was he was on the attack. He was certain the tempo, right? His opponent, and I forget his name,
Jared Gordon,
was catching him with some left hooks, and he caught him quite a bunch of times. But he was always catching on a counterpunch. Patty was the attacker. Patty was throwing more combinations. He was getting a lot of damage done. So I can see how you can score the first two rounds for Patty. And then the last round, Jared didn't really do much. He kind of put him up against the cage. got one significant strike and was kind of just on the cage wrestling the whole time. So I feel like maybe if he went out and did more in that third, and I haven't watched it a second time. This is just my first time watching it. I feel like if he had done more in that third round, maybe he had a chance to change the judge's mind, but they scored the first for Patty anyway.
Well, not every judge.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, typically the first thing I look at when I see the scorecard, and especially, and this was not a split decision, but like if it's a split decision, I look and see who did what judging-wise, just because I'm curious. Mm-hmm. You know, typically, they all get it right.
Yeah.
Not saying they get the fight right. All three will score the first round for whoever, the second round for whoever. It tends to be a unanimous round.
Yeah.
In this case, one or two judges had Jared winning round one, and one or two judges had Jared winning round three.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a consistent. And I do understand, you know, it could be one punch. It could be one this. It could be one that. As I watched it, I thought Jared won.
Yeah.
I even thought and think round two was so close. Jared could have won that. I gave it to Patty just because I'm trying to think, what are the judges doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I tried to, okay, let's make this fun. I wasn't judging. Yeah. I was just, you know, okay, 1-1, let's see what happens in three.
Yeah.
Kevin Ioli, who is very well respected, he had it 30-27 for Jared.
Okay.
So,
the fight that I think really was the one that left my head scratching was the second part of the co-main event, the Bohovis fight and Uncle Ayev. What are your thoughts on that?
We were en route to the airport.
So you didn't see it?
I didn't see it.
Okay, I'll give you a little rundown.
Okay.
The first two rounds was a masterclass by Blachowicz with shin kicks, leg kicks. So much so that Uncle Ayev was hopping on one leg multiple times. Like, he gets kicked in the shins, and he's, like, limping and can't stand. And it looked like it was about to be over pretty quickly.
Either a 10-8? Could either of those rounds been a 10-8?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was bad damage. Like, I mean, his legs were messed up. He couldn't walk. He was limping. I thought if Blachowicz would have closed in on one of those leg kicks in the second round, he could have won, closed the fight out. Third, in the corner, his coaches, Uncle Ayev coaches, says, hey, if this guy can't grapple, why are you playing with him? Go grapple him. And then you saw in the third round, he started off with some leg kicks. Uncle Ayev gets him to the ground, gets a lot of ground control, right? And doesn't do a lot of damage, but has a lot of ground control. The fourth round, he gets ground control and starts inflicting ground and pound. Looks like Islam does. Looks like Khabib does. You know, like all the Russians do. The fourth round, he throws a punch at Jan. Jan goes down because he misses. He misses the punch. Jan gets scared of the takedown. He goes down. He has ground control for about 4 minutes of that round, of the fifth round, and does a lot of ground and pound damage, right? And Jan cannot get up from it. So it looked like to me that the third, fourth, and fifth will go to Uncle Ayev, and then they came to a split decision, which everybody was pretty shocked about. When they asked Jan initially, when they go to raise each other's hands, he points to Uncle Ayev.
Right. I heard that.
Like, just go ahead. I know he won. And then they say split decision. He was like, and then, you know, Joe Rogan gets in there and he's like, so do you think that he won the fight? And, you know, it's a split decision now. He's like, I'm not a judge.
Right.
I don't want to say, you know, even though he felt like he lost.
But athletes know.
He was like, in that situation, like, I want to fight again. You know, I want to get a chance for the belt again, you know? And so it was a big controversy. And he was kind of like, well, I'm not a judge. And then he comes up and says, hey, you know, give him the belt. Like, just give him the belt. And I guess Dana was just like, those guys didn't do enough. Like, you should have did more and gave the title fight to somebody else. So that was the interesting one for me.
Back real quick. I don't know if you've seen it. It is floating around on Twitter. Joe Rogan's reaction when Bruce Buffer said Patty won the fight.
Yeah, he was like.
He rolled his eyes. Yeah. It's like.
Both times you did that.
Oh, didn't well again. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
My question to you is: give me your thoughts on the title fight, on who Glover is going to fight.
Oh yeah, I talked about him before because I saw his last fight against God. Was it who was supposed to fight? Oh my goodness, I'm blanking on his name. But I watched his last fight. He was on the main card, and I want to say it was in Vegas earlier this year, and he looked amazing. Like, he got a fourth-round TKO, and he looked great. So I think it's a good matchup. I don't know how well he does on the ground because he's a striker, and he's a really, really good striker. And so I'm excited for that fight.
Here's the thing, and again, Dana knows what he's doing, whatever, whatever, whatever. So Jamal Hill was scheduled to fight Anthony Smith.
Yes.
Anthony Smith, and rankings mean nothing. You know, we all know that. It's not their rankings. It's some media that know what they're doing and some media that don't.
Yeah.
So Glover is going to fight Hill and not Smith, who's ranked higher than him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it because Anthony's already fought for the title?
I think Jamal's a more exciting fight. I think Jamal looked really good in his last fight.
Then let's get rid of the rankings. The rankings are a joke.
I don't think Dana pays attention that much to it. I think he looks at the styles.
Then why did the UFC add that? You know, and then the UFC was the first one added, and then everybody followed Bellator, and they all do the rankings now.
I mean, look at college football rankings. People lose, and sometimes they go down. People win, and sometimes they don't go up. And it's just
sometimes
like,
you lose three games, and Alabama's still in the playoffs.
Exactly. So it's just, you know, you see what happens. And so I think it's I think the people who run it looks like, okay, who's going to make the best fight? Who's going to make the best match? Who's going to make the best game? And they go with that.
All right. I do apologize. We're 38 minutes in, and I didn't bring up the passing of Mike Leach.
Yeah. RIP.
Teams coming here next week. It's going to be probably tough for them to come and play. I didn't realize, and this is, you know, Matt keeps wishing that I die, you know, so he can take over the show and all that, and I understand that. But Mike Leach was 61.
Yeah, young man.
And it's like, wow. It kind of puts perspective. So I'm going to go out and have a good time tonight.
I'll give you my personal story about Mike Leach. He recruited me coming out of high school. But I had so much disdain for him because I grew up a Longhorn fan. And he was a Texas Tech with that air raid. And he used to give Texas – this was a Texas height, you know, when Vince Young was there and Colt McCoy and Garrett Gilbert and all those guys. And he used to give us fits. We were the number one team in the country. I was a UT fan. Just coming off beating Oklahoma, we went from number five to number one. The very next week, we were playing Texas Tech, and Michael Crabtree has that amazing catch, you know, in the corner for the win on fourth down. And so I hated Mike Leach. But he's such a good coach. He went to Wazoo and did great things, and he revolutionized the game. Those 2.5-foot splits that nobody knew what to do with, running inside zone, the air raid with Graham Harrell, making all those plays, breaking all those numbers, the receivers that he had. So he's an amazing guy, amazing coach, very quirky, somebody I felt like I'd have got along with. And so we lost a great mind of the game, so RIP to him.
You know, and when the news came out and then a lot of his tree, you know, his coaching trees, you know, you don't ever realize until you see it, you know, when there's a head coach, who's underneath them.
Yeah.
You know, and then they all, you know, branch out.
And that's success,
and,
too.
And, right, do success, you know, and it's from their tree. I hate to even ask you this, but how – will that affect the team? Granted, it's, 2.5 weeks, so it's not necessarily this weekend. But I believe they come to town middle of next week. How is that going to affect the team? It could go either way.
It definitely will. And again, you can always, you know, try and play for your coach. But that continuity, and again, he calls the plays on that team, right? He's the offensive mind. He's the leader of men. Look how the Bucks were affected. Again, we all have our feelings about Bruce Arians. But he left, and look at the team, and look what's done. With the same players, they've had injuries. But it's the same guys, and look kind of how the team has faltered and not look as consistent because he's that leader. He's that guy that can control the room, control the other coaches, you know, and everybody listens to him and what he says. And so for me, I don't, it could go either way. I've lost coaches. I've lost other players too in the middle of the seasons. And it could go either way, but it's going to be tough for those guys.
Since you brought it up, if the coach isn't doing them wherever, we're not necessarily talking Tampa, we're just talking NFL, anywhere or college or whatever. Is it not then fall on the captains and the team to kind of keep it up there? Or once that head coach is checked out, sort of, is there no coming back?
I mean, captains and team captains can only do so much. Captains don't run the coordinators. Captains don't run the training staff and the equipment staff. And they don't settle those things. They don't hold a captain of a team can't hold the defensive coordinator accountable and can't call him out when something goes awry, right? Captains can only handle players, and they can voice their opinions to coaches, but they can't control what the coaches do and check the coaches. And so it's a way different dynamic.
Got a big thing coming up in the second hour of today's show.
Yep.
There's a couple things sitting behind me.
Ooh,
I can't wait.
Christmas time.
It is Christmas time. It's holiday time. It's holiday time.
It's Christmas time.
Well, it's holiday time.
Christmas.
Christmas.
Okay. Does that mean I got to celebrate Christmas?
Yeah. If you want, a gift.
No, I want 8 gifts. Yeah, okay. That's why I love being Jewish. It's 8 gifts. I'll tell you a real quick story, and then we got to hit this break. So when my dad passed away a couple years ago, we're at the funeral. And, you know, my little brother basically ran, you know, the funeral and the whole 9 yards. And so I get up and I say this little thing about how important baseball was to my dad, you know, and the Jewish religion, everything is on Saturday, you know, where you're all a religion, it's on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I said, so my dad had to make a choice. Is it Hebrew school or is it baseball? He chose baseball. So I said, I'm going to say the only prayer that I know in Hebrew, which is the Hanukkah prayer, when you light the candles and then go get your gifts. That's the only prayer that I know in Hebrew.
So what's wrong with you guys? Like, isn't
you
he
guys?
Isn't he you guys? But isn't he one of you?
Okay, like, Kanye.
Hold on, Jesus is your guy. I mean, he's Jewish. So why don't you celebrate him so on Christmas? Why don't you celebrate his tree and his holiday?
His tree?
No, it's his tree. But I don't get it. He's your guy.
Jesus, he's Jewish.
I know. And so was Hitler.
No, he was not.
Hitler had Jewish blood in him.
Okay, we're not going to get into that.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm not.
Caleb's going to burn his Yeezys now.
No, I'm not.
He's going to put them away so people don't know he has them.
No, right, let's
go hit a quick break. When we come back, more shenanigans. And gift giving time is right around the corner from some gifts that I got from the Vinyl Image.
Ooh.
Time will tell what you guys get. And I love your card better than anything. Where do you see your card?
Okay.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sub. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Rick Nash from the Columbus Blue Jackets, and you're listening to Talkin' Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Looking for the perfect holiday gift? Randy Harris here, and once you check out The Vinyl Image, your search will be over. This is the gift. Perfect for the man cave, she shed, kids' room or garage. Get your favorite band, animal, sport, military, or custom your own record design. I already put my order in, and so should you. Vinyl records are back. Tune in to Knockout Radio for details on how to win a gift certificate to thevinylimage.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, fighting! Out of the Christmas corner, MMA bobbleheads from MMABobblehead.com.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is John Gafford from The Apprentice, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back hanging out at Tournament de Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. The Vinyl Image will be coming on the table in the next 10 or 15 minutes.
All right.
So where do you see some of this stuff? It is absolutely killer. Did you hear, allegedly, because, you know, we don't do research.
Yeah.
Did you hear, allegedly, what Tom Brady said as he was leaving the stadium on Sunday?
No, I didn't.
Allegedly, a PR person went up to Tom Brady and said, don't you want to see your family? You know, he was walking out. And you know what Tom Brady's response was?
No.
Why? Are they still here?
Was his family there?
Well, well this family was there parents, at the beginning of the game.
His parents, right? It's like, because he's from California.
I understand that. But yeah. he had people there.
Okay.
So
well, wasn't his kids and
he just assumed that they all left.
Yeah, because it was getting beat so bad right. and it was raining.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think was thought was
that's
pretty
really funny.
Funny. It definitely was hilarious. Bryce Mitchell, after the fight, I guess came out and said that he had the flu. Yeah. I have a problem with that.
Does he remember having the flu?
I don't know.
He got beat.
No, he did get beat. No, he did.
That was a bad loss.
Tapoya is a tough dude. And if he fights Patty, I don't see any way possible they set that fight up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they went at each other at the press conference. You know, to the point where Jared Gordon was apologizing to Patty
yeah.
about something that he said. I don't know if you guys saw this. Jared said, hey, Patty, I want to apologize. I didn't mean to say you quit. I meant to say you just ran out of gas. And it's basically the same thing. It's just a nicer way to say you quit. And then all of a sudden, somebody starts ripping Patty. And it was almost like the Conor McGregor one where, you know, who the F is this guy?
Yeah.
And it was Tapoya,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, who was kind of getting on him and things got started.
You know, there's this thing. People would love to get on Patty. You know, and I understand that he's kind of taken on this heel thing.
Yep.
So he's bringing on himself. But it's just like, dude, like, I understand.
He's the new Conor.
He's a star and he's young and the UFC's pushing him. And it's frustrating because some guys are older. They're not getting that kind of push. Mm. But I'm just like, let this guy fight until he loses. Don't just keep your mouth shut, you know? Like, just be quiet about it. But they sit there and they berate this guy because he's having success. Same thing they did with Sugar Sean.
Sure.
Everybody wanted to die Sugar Sean. Then when he fought, who was his last fight? I'm blanking on his name.
That he won? Yeah. I can't think of it.
Yeah, and everybody's like, oh, he lost a fight.
Right.
And it's like, dude, like, the kid's a star. He's winning. He drives his nice cars. He has his pink hair. Like, enjoy it. You know, enjoy it. It's good for the sport. And get a fight against him. You make a lot of money. Like, I want that stuff to
Well, and that's why there is that heat.
Yeah.
You know, with Tapoya or whatever. It's because he's the new guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's going to get you the money.
Yeah.
You know, what do you young kids call it? The cheddar.
Yeah, the cheddar.
The bag.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the bag. There you go.
The bag.
You know, it's that as well. So,
what about that 17-year-old?
He went to school on Monday.
Yeah.
He bought his mama a van and then went to school.
Could you imagine? Like, I was talking to Mike Lickie about this. Could you imagine having that moment, being on the main card of UFC at 17 years old, then going to school after you just beat up a grown man?
Yeah.
Like, come on. That's got to be so cool.
I walked around for the first time ever, and I ran into Scott Peterson and Jake Hatton. And Jake said he used to train him and his two brothers. And he said, these kids have gas tanks that will never empty, ever. They could go 10 rounds.
Yeah.
And then he just went out there and totally dominated.
Yeah. It was awesome to see.
Yeah.
I always have had a problem, you know, when like an 18-year-old fights a 32-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, because it is. It's a kid fighting a man. But, you know, we saw what happened.
Yeah, but because of all evolution
and it was
sport.
It was Peter Yan.
Peter Yan. There we go.
But as the sport evolves, like, these kids are training from age 5 now, and they know that they can make it in mixed martial arts.
Ask you this. Would you feel bad if an 18-year-old fought John Jones?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
For John Jones or for the 18-year-old?
For the 18-year-old.
Okay, then. So it depends on who you're fighting.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
No question. No question.
If an 18-year-old goes to fight Francis Ngannou, I'm worried about the 18-year-old. He's going to get his brains knocked out.
Right.
So it just depends on who you're fighting.
Well, and I thought the same thing. Not that I knew anything about him, mm-hmm. but, you know, when you see a 17, 18-year-old fighting a man,
yeah.
I mean, it's like a high school star is going to go up against you on the offensive line.
Yeah, dude, no.
Right?
Yeah, I'll drag you.
And then you have this kid come out there and, you know.
When if he does that, you're like, because I know some guys Miles Garrett would have beat when he was a junior in high school. I know a few guys here to beat in the NFL when he was a junior. And you see what he is now. So,
before we close out the first hour, did you see what Parsons said?
Michael Parsons? Yeah, he said, is it Jalen Hurts or the team?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Is it?
He has a great team around him.
Well, of course he does. Tell me what MVP doesn't have a team around him?
I think you put that team that Jalen Hurts has and you give it to Patrick Mahomes, I think they go 20-0.
Okay. And they'll probably go 19-1.
No, they'll go 10. They'll win the Super Bowl. Guaranteed.
Philly.
If you put, yeah, Philly.
Yeah, well, no, that's what I'm saying. So they'll go 19-1.
No.
Well,
But
Jalen Hurts is not Patrick Mahomes. Don't even make that comparison.
I'm not. I'm not saying that.
I got shocked for a
second. No. I'm not saying that. Patrick Mahomes is probably the best quarterback in football.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that. I'm just saying to win the MVP, you typically have a team around you. Or those pinpoint passes, or even those bad passes, are not going to get caught.
There were years that Tom Brady didn't have the best team around him, but he was just the best player in the NFL, and he made those guys better.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. He may not have had the best team, but he made them the best
team.
Well,
but speaking of Brady, I have a stat here for you guys, since I'm such an analyst in sports facts.
Yeah.
The biggest losses.
Did you check it twice?
Yeah. The biggest losses of Tom Brady's career.
This is so old.
2003, 0-31, but he went on to win the Super Bowl. Patriots lost to the Bills. The Patriots in 2014 lost to the Chiefs 14-41, went on to win the Super Bowl. 2020, 38-3 against the Saints, went on to win the Super Bowl. And 2022, 7-35 versus San Francisco.
I am
to
not
be determined.
I am not.
Will Brady win the Super Bowl this year?
You want to put money on that?
I am not a gambler, but I will bet that.
My money or Randy's money?
Yeah, I'll put whatever money on that.
Yeah, that ain't.
I'll put a lot of money that that's not happening.
But he still has a chance. We're still number one in the division. They're going to make the playoffs.
I think they can win a division, and I think they're going to win the first game. Their first
against Dallas.
Yeah, I'll take Tom over Dak Prescott.
The two quarterbacks, but I don't know if I would take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing at home against Dallas.
I've seen Tom Brady play in the playoffs.
It is Dallas, though.
It's a different
guy. I've seen Tom Brady play in the playoffs.
Sure.
He's a different guy.
I'm going to leave it at that. I've won a lot of money betting with Tom Brady in the playoffs.
What's up with Beasley?
Cole Beasley?
Yeah.
He's bored. Retirement's boring. I don't know. I'm not surprised. Retirement's boring. Very few guys leave and are just like, oh, I'm cool. Look at Tom. He 2 months later, he's like, nah. Gronk came back. You know,
will Gronk come back this year?
No, I think Gronk.
Not to Tampa.
You don't think so?
Yeah, no. I think Gronk's done. I think Gronk's done.
No.
The beatings he's taken, the injuries he's had, I think he's done. I think he's happy doing what he's doing. Yeah, well, I don't think
what's
he's
he doing?
He's doing a lot of stuff. He's on commercials every week.
He's on one of the networks
wrestling.
Now.
Yeah.
He's doing one of the
sports. Yeah, I don't think he's coming back.
Now, how come, I just thought of this, how come he hasn't won the 24-7 title back?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he had the 24-7 title.
I did not know that.
And, yeah, and then when he came back, you know, he got beat in his front yard. You know, somebody just, the yard guy,
yeah,
you know, who was a WWE wrestler, pinned him and took the 24-7 title.
You know, I will just a side note about WWE, they're getting better again. It's a different era, but I've watched SmackDown a couple of times, watched Raw a couple of times. And I'm kind of starting to get back into the entertainment value of it. Yeah, yeah. They're not doing a bad job.
See, I've lost it. I've lost that love and feeling.
I've watched a couple, man, and it's...
I don't know if it's... And it takes time, and that's the whole thing about wrestling is it's characters.
Yeah, you got to get invested.
And you got to get invested and get attached to them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I still, in the back of my mind, when you're talking WWE, all I see is the Shield coming down from the rafters.
Yeah, I see The Rock and Stone Cold. And yeah. But now you got the Imperial or whatever they are, and you got the Usos. So
speaking of WWE.
Usos?
Or WWF. last week, you started the show with like a loss, the 10-bell salute. I couldn't hear because I was having
station
issues. But it was Mills Lane, but Barry Windham had a heart attack last week.
He did.
It was an ICU. Any updates on him?
Oh, wow. I haven't heard any. I know we have some contacts. You know, and again, he's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Yeah.
I love the Yellow Dog.
The storyline, the whole character.
Barry Windham, Mike Rotunda. You know, we had his nephew FaceTime. Yeah, we didn't have him on the air, Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Windham is his, I believe his name is Windham Rotunda. Who just went back to the WWE, but no, he had, Well, and you don't probably even know who either one of those guys are.
I know Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. His dad, Mike Rotunda, he was also known as IRS, long career in the wrestling world, and Barry Windham, Blackjack Mulligan, his dad. Barry Windham, is in bad spot.
Hopefully he can pull through.
Hopefully he can, because he definitely is the man. But I can't get into it. You know, like I try to flip it on Monday night during a commercial for football, and I can't.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, we know it's scripted. I get all that. But when it's so bad, you know, when you see this move and like the head doesn't even touch, yet they lay there like they're...
It's like the Patty fight.
Not every match, but there are certain guys who like... Now I take away my past love from it and just watch the guys there who can have a good match and like do cool moves.
Who's your favorite person to watch then?
I like Kofi Kingston. He does a lot of exciting stuff.
He's okay.
I've grown to love.
Testing you.
Yeah, I've grown to love the Tribal Chief.
Tribal Chief.
that's my Nigerian name.
Because like for me, it's like he's the second generation of The Rock, right? The Rock wasn't a high flyer. Still going to high flyer.
Well, you know they're not related.
I know.
Okay.
It's just a.
It's the family thing.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know a lot of Polynesians, and they're all second cousins from somewhere.
Right.
If you ask it, sure. So, but you know, like there are certain characters that I do enjoy. I do like to watch. You know, I do enjoy watching it sometimes.
And the athleticism's cool to see. Like,
oh
Logan
no,
Paul,
absolutely.
Logan Paul with the selfie jump.
I think he should stop and just go do WWE full time.
Yeah,
I agree. Sure.
Dude, if he's
making as much money there,
he's definitely not.
You know, then I don't push him to do that. Make the money. Make the bag. Make the bags.
Yeah,
make the cheddar.
Get the bag.
Get the bag.
get the bag.
All right, let's go hit the top of the hour. When we come back, a lot of stuff still to go. Dave Manley's going to talk about the newest figurine that just got released. And a couple gifts are going to be handed out here very, very soon from the Vinyl Image. All that and a whole lot more. We got 30 seconds. So in 30 seconds, what do you got?
In 30 seconds, Pelé, it's more a topic of sad stuff and somebody being sick. Pelé got taken off of life support. Football legend.
Legend.
Soccer legend, whatever you want to call it. Probably held as the best player to ever play before Messi and Ronaldo kind of stepped into the fold.
True.
So he's had cancer. Huh? He's taken off of life support. So, you know, prayers out to him and his family.
All right. That's what I get for throwing the underhand softball. We're going on this break on a real Debbie Downer. When we come back, we'll try to lift the place up. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stamp Song.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Smaller increase to its